Greetings in the name of Jesus this evening. As I sat and listened to that talk on the tongue, I thought maybe I should suggest or request of the Bible School Planning Committee that Brother Leslie go along with me to every church I need to go to and have that topic before the message. The message tonight is practicing everyday evangelism. And you know, as we look at that idea and we look at what the brother shared about the tongue, they go together. Now tonight, being the first night, you are all guinea pigs to this message. And I want you to listen carefully, not because it's me speaking, but because it's God's word. And also, there may be some things that I need to tweak a little bit, and I want you to tell me if you think there's something that I should be changing, something I should be adding, something I should be subtracting, or maybe I missed the mark altogether. So I want you to be my critique committee tonight. As we look at this idea of practicing everyday evangelism, you know, with almost anything, we can learn how to do something. We can have all the right tools and we can have all the right methods. But if we fail to see the need, it's very doubtful that we're going to get involved or do anything about it, right? We can have all the abilities, but if we don't really see a need for whatever it may be, you may be a farmer and you have all the things you need to go out there and take care of the weeds, but you don't really see a need for it, so you don't do it. You may be a mechanic and you have all the knowledge and all the proper tools and all the manuals that tell you how to do things, but if you don't see a need to repair something, you're probably not going to get involved. Same holds true in everyday evangelism. You know, why do we find it so hard to get involved in evangelism? And I have a number of questions here at the beginning, and I'm not necessarily going to answer them. And I probably won't specifically answer them as we go through the message, but I want you to think about them, because they are questions that we need to answer personally between us and our God. Why do we find it so hard to get involved in evangelism? We can talk about everyday things. We can talk about the weather. We can talk about the farming. We can talk about mechanics. We can talk about the stock market. We can talk about politics. Yet we don't know what to say to an individual when it comes to spiritual things. Do we see the need for it? We might say, well, that's for the evangelist. Brothers and sisters, we're all called to be evangelists. Every one of us. That includes you sisters and you young sisters as well. We're called to be evangelists. Do we have a sense of urgency of the situation? Time is running out. When we see people, we look into their eyes. Do we see a never-dying soul? Suppose at the judgment, those same eyes look back into your eyes and say, "You never told me." How long Can an individual be a Christian and not be involved in everyday evangelism? Brothers and sisters, tonight I believe that we have the tools, the knowledge, the methods. We have the manual. We have the ability. I don't believe tonight that we need to be taught how to be involved in everyday evangelism. We know what's required. We know what is the need. But I believe tonight, brothers and sisters, we need to be stirred in our hearts to see the need around us, to see the urgency, to realize that it's not just about me living today, but it's about our friends, our neighbors, our families, not only living today, but living in eternity. Where? So tonight, the message tonight is not about teaching you how to be evangelist every day, but the message tonight is to stir your hearts to see the need and why it's important that we are an evangelist every day. We know the Word of God. We know that Jesus came and died for the sins of the world. Are we telling people about that? In 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 5, it says, and this is talking about God bringing judgment upon the world. And he says, and spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of upon the world of the ungodly. We all know the story about Noah. I think most of us have been born and raised in Christian homes, and we have known the story of Noah from little on up. How God came and looked around and saw that man's heart was only evil continually, and that he thought about nothing but wrong and sin and evil and wickedness. And God said, it's kind of hard to understand exactly how God meant this, but he said, I'm sorry I made man. I'm going to destroy man from the face of the earth. But there was one individual that God saw as being a faithful individual. It says that Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And the reason he found grace in the eyes of the Lord is because he was living the Christian life. He was living a godly life. He was living a life that was obedient to God. And when God came to him, God said, Noah, I want you to go out there and I want you to get some gopher wood and I want you to build an ark. Well, that may not have, struck Noah. It may have struck him as being strange. You know, why would God want me to build an ark? But then God says, Noah, I want you to make this ark 100 cubits long, 50 cubits wide and 30 cubits high. And I believe Noah may have, like I would, stepped back a little bit and said, God, that's a big boat. That's a big ark. And you want me to build that? I don't know what tools Noah had in those days. I really have no idea. The Bible tells us that Noah obeyed God and did what God told him to do. And I do not believe that that was the first time that Noah obeyed God. I believe he was a man of obedience. And when God spoke to him and told him, this is what I want you to do, Noah did it. That's why he found grace in the eyes of the Lord. But Noah started building this boat. And in 2 Peter, it says, and God spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the eighth person. And it says there, a preacher of righteousness. And that is why I am using Noah as an example tonight. I am told that when a news person needs to report a news article, needs to report on something, there are a few things that need to be included in the article. And that is who, what, when, where, and why. If you stop and think that through, that's what news is. Who, what, when, where, and why. Now tonight we're going to look at those points, not in that order, but we're going to use those points to direct our thinking a little bit as to everyday evangelism. And I'm going to look at the why first. Why are we needing everyday evangelism? Why should we be involved in everyday evangelism? Why should I, in my everyday work, in my everyday life, in the things that I go about doing every day, why should I include evangelism in that? You know, we can put evangelism in a box and say, well, you know, okay, we go out in street meetings, we're evangelizing. But when I'm at work during the day, or when I'm at home housekeeping, yes, even then. Brothers and sisters, we should not put evangelism in a box off to the side somewhere. That's something that we do every now and then we feel good again and we go about our life. Everyday evangelism is just that, every day. Why? Because mankind is condemned to die because of sin. Genesis 2 and verse 17 says that the day that you eat thereof, you shall surely die. Man is condemned to death. Man did eat of that tree because Satan came and tempted Eve and tempted Adam, and they partook. And they were scared. There was condemnation there. Ezekiel 8:18, verses 4 and verse 20 say, "The soul that sinneth, it shall die." That is the condemnation that is upon mankind. I believe, as Noah spent all those years building that ark, I don't believe that Noah was off somewhere out in the boondocks somewhere with nobody else around. Or else he could not have been a preacher of righteousness. I believe that as Noah spent all those years building that ark, that he also spent time looking at those folks around him and realizing that those folks are condemned to die. How about you? Do you understand why you should be involved in everyday evangelism? Do you understand that those folks that you meet every day, do you understand that those people that pass you by, may very well be individuals that are condemned to die? There is but one answer. Just as in Noah's day, the only answer was being inside that ark. There is but one answer and one possibility of deliverance. Turn in your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. We know verse 17, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." If we are in Christ, we're new creatures. Those old things have passed away. Brother, sister, how did you become a Christian? How did the old things pass away and all things become new? It was because someone was an evangelist to you. be it your parents, be it your a church minister or an evangelist at church, but someone was your evangelist, or maybe a few people were, or a number of people. Here, in the next verses, I believe we have the Christian's mission statement. Everyday evangelism. Verse 18, "And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation." That is the only hope, brothers and sisters, of these individuals that are condemned to die. Reconciliation is the only hope, and that ministry has been delivered to us. To wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. The only hope is Jesus Christ. And we, like Noah, know that the people around us are condemned to die. What are we doing? That is why we need to be involved in everyday evangelism. The next one is what? The message of salvation. That is what we need to be giving, the message of salvation. Most of us find it fairly easy to talk to somebody about, like we mentioned before, everyday things. But when it comes to everyday evangelism, sometimes I can't talk. I can't do that. I'm just not that type of person. Brother, sister, tonight, you don't have to say much. My wife and I were just talking on the way out here. She said she met a woman at the store. They were both wearing masks, but they got a little close. She's not sure exactly what happened, but they got very close to each other. And both of them realized that they may be offending somebody, offending the other person by getting too close. And they both apologized, and my wife said that she's not really concerned about it. We've already had the COVID-19. And the other lady informed her that she's not really concerned about it either, because she serves God, and she is sure that she will only get COVID-19 if God allows her to get it. Now, she could see that my wife was a Christian because my wife is wearing the covering. But brothers and sisters, if that would happen to us, in everyday conversation, in everyday life, would we be willing to give a testimony of our faith in God? Just one little sentence or phrase, that's all we need to say. To identify, brothers and sisters, to identify with our God and to reach out to a lost and dying world in this time of fear and turmoil and distrust and disunity, just to reach out to somebody and express your faith in God. Maybe all it takes to give that individual some hope and to get them to ask questions. Do you think Noah went about building the ark and not speaking to anybody? How could he have been a preacher of righteousness if that was the case? Brothers and sisters, I believe that Noah not only saw the individuals around them as people who were condemned to die, but he spoke to them. Oh, I'm sure he talked about the crops over all those years, and I'm sure he talked about people ask him questions maybe about how things are going with the boat and so forth, but I'm sure that Noah had a testimony. He would tell them, God has condemned the world because of the wickedness. God is going to send a flood, and Noah may not have totally understood what all that meant, because Things were different back in that day than they are now, climate-wise and so forth. But he spoke to them. You need to come into the ark. You need to be part of the program. Death is coming. Yeah, I'm sure people were watching Brother Noah as he was building that ark. Why is he building that boat? What's wrong with that man? You know, sometimes they look at us and why are you doing the things you're doing? What's wrong with you? Do we use that as an opportunity to be an everyday evangelist, or do we cringe at that and we have some lame explanation as to, well, I'm a Mennonite and that's how we do, you know. We have the methods, brothers and sisters. We have the knowledge. Are we using it? When and where? I'm going to put these two together. Jesus used everyday opportunities to preach the Word of God. He used everyday opportunities to point people to God. He used the sick. He used the lame. He used a coin. He used fish. He used everyday opportunities. Paul used everyday opportunities. He used the altar on Mars Hill. And he used his imprisonments and so forth. He used everyday opportunities to preach the Word of God. Do we recognize opportunities when they come our way? The open door, the seeking soul. I'm sure that as Brother Noah was building the ark, and somebody came to him and said, Noah, why are you doing this? What's that pile of wood over there? And Noah would say, God told me there's going to be a flood. He told me to build an ark. He told me how to do it. You see, come here. See that over there? That's the framework. That's the beginning of it. That's my job. That's what I'm doing. Yes, I'm probably farming on the side. I'm probably raising the grain that I'm going to need all the time I'm going to be on that ark. But that is my focal point. Because God has said man is condemned to die. And by following his commands and building that ark over there is the only way. It's the only way that you can be saved. Won't you come? Won't you come when the time comes, when the ark is done? Won't you come? Won't you come and get in with us? I don't know if Noah went and bought grain from people to put in the ark for food. I don't know if Noah had to go out and buy wood from other people, or if it was something that he could get, you know, all by himself. I don't know. But I'm sure that in everyday life, Noah was using opportunities that came his way to speak to people and preach righteousness to them and tell them man is condemned to die and the only way of salvation is the ark. Brothers and sisters, are we doing that today with every opportunity, every open door that we get? Man is condemned to die and salvation through Jesus Christ is the only way to be saved. Who? Is anyone exempt from hearing the message? Do you know of anyone? Can you point me to a scripture that says that there's certain people that are exempt from hearing the word, hearing the message? We, of course, know those verses in John 3. God is not willing. No, that's not John 3. John 3 is, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him He doesn't say that those who have a certain color skin or those who have a certain privileged family or those that have accomplished certain things, those are the ones that have the privilege of hearing. But it says, whosoever, I remind you of that. We know that, but I remind you of that. Who? Everyone. Therefore, we should always be ready to practice evangelism. We should always be ready because the people that we meet are eligible to hear and to receive salvation. Not all of them will, I'll guarantee you that. Sad to say, but that's the facts. You can preach and you can teach and you can share and you can be an evangelist, but there will be people that will laugh at you. There might be people that slap you in the face. There might be people that just turn their backs and walk away. You might be humiliated. You might be rejected. And none of us like that. But brothers and sisters, when we think of that individual's never-dying soul spending eternity somewhere, is that not a small price to pay to be able to give them the opportunity? That's what an evangelist does. He gives people the opportunity. Are we being everyday evangelists? The people around us on every side need God. Yes, that good neighbor that would do anything for you. Outside of Jesus Christ, he's lost. That individual that is so kind, and it is so, I mean, they're just a fine individual. You never hear them swear, you never hear them belittle anyone. They're just such a kind person. Brother, sister, outside of Jesus Christ, they're lost, they're doomed to death. There is none good enough. All our righteousness is as filthy rags before God. Jesus Christ is the only way. Those people are the ones that have the right to hear the word of God. Our own families. Fathers, mothers. Are you an evangelist in your own home? Are you an evangelist to your children, giving them the opportunity to know the word of God and to know that mankind is sinful and is condemned to die? Are you teaching them that Jesus Christ and obedience to God's word is the only salvation? That is the only ark that has been prepared? Are you being an evangelist to your children, young people? Are you being an evangelist to each other? And to your younger siblings, maybe you're the youngest one. Maybe you have nieces and nephews. And you say, oh, that, you know, that's kind of far out to, for me. You know, I'm 15, 16, 17 years old. You can read them, you can read Bible stories to them or tell them Bible stories. You can tell them about Jesus. We all need to be an everyday evangelist. Evangelism is simply presenting the gospel message in simplicity. You catch that? It is simply presenting the gospel message in simplicity. It doesn't have to be fancy language. It doesn't have to be big words. It doesn't have to be highly educated speech. Just simply presenting the gospel message in simplicity. Evangelism becomes a way of life only as we allow God to develop in us a love, a compassion, and a passion for lost humanity. If we allow God to move in our hearts and develop that within us, we will be a practical evangelist in everyday life. Thank you. God bless you.